Father, but we love you because you first loved us, and you showed us that, Father, when you died on the cross for us, just one. If there's just one of us, you would have done everything that you went through just for the one, Father, because the Word of God says you leave the 99 for the one. Father, that just shows us how individual you are with us, Father. We might be thinking, oh, well, he's God. He's so busy. He's got so much, so many people. No, 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 no. He is all about you and your circumstance and your pain and your joy and your happiness and what's going on in your life. He is about you. That's how big and powerful of a God we serve, that he can be all in all places but still be with you and concerned about you, and chase after you, and climb hills for you, and move tables for you, and ultimately to die on the cross for you, so that you could come here this morning and be with him, and hear of him, and who he is. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the love of God. I was reading this week in some of my scriptures that I have written down that I keep with me, and one of them I've read over and over again, but God just made it stand out to me and have a revelation about it. It says that his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And I would read that all the time. Yes, your faithfulness will be, but then God said, no, look at it. Look at it. My faithfulness. Well, what does faithfulness mean? It means fidelity. That God's fidelity, his constantness, his steadfastness, his ability to not change or to leave, to be constant in your life, that is your shield and your rampart. Now, what's a rampart? The rampart is the front line of defense. It's where the fighters go out and they're on the front line against the enemy. That's what God's faithfulness is for you. His faithfulness to you is a shield against your enemy, and it stands on the ramparts because he is a God who stands at the place where you cannot and shield you. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your word, that it just speaks life to us and wholeness into our bodies. How awesome you are. How magnificent you are. Holy Spirit, we want you here. Touch us. Touch us. We need you. We need you. This is your stage. These are your words. This is your study. That it would go out and multiply according to your will and plan. We ask you all these things in your mighty name, your incredible, amazing name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a clap. Yeah. He is good. He is good. He is good. The Bible says that only God is good, so we can truly say he is good because he is the only thing that's good. I love that. I love that. Nothing else is good. We call things good all the time. Well, he's good, or it's really good, or it's this. But truly, that's not the truth, because the Bible says that only God is good. So when we truly emphasize that, we're speaking the truth of his word, that he is good, and he is good to you. And we're so thankful for that. I'm so excited that y'all are here, ladies. I know it's kind of a crazy, we having crazy weather. I don't know about y'all, but this has been an epic winter for us. I mean, we have had cold like we've never had it before. We had 2 days of snow, which I've never seen in living here since I was 6 years old. We're having rain every day. It's like we're living in Seattle. What up with this? It's raining every day, this misty sprinkle. It's just been crazy, but you know what? God is faithful. And you know what? Whether it rains or shines, snows or sleets, we're going to have Bible study, because we are going to get into the presence of God. Now, this morning, we are number four. Oh, yes, you missed last week. Today, we're on number four, which means how many are left?
Two.
Two Woo! 2 more weeks, ladies. Y'all are so amazing at kindergarten math. I'm proud of y'all. No, we're so thankful, and I'm so excited about the message today that God has and the next 2 messages that he has for y'all. Every one of them are just, I say this every time. I'm so excited about today's message, but it's truly because it's just everything that he speaks is so right to where we're at right now. You know, he's such a God of timing and seasons, and that is my prayer when he writes these studies, that he would just meet the season of the life of the woman that is hearing it, because that is what we want. God is all about meeting us in the season of the life that we are in currently. You don't want to hear something that you don't need, right? We want to hear something that we need. Today is uphill in new seasons. Uphill in new seasons. If you'll get your Bible out and turn to Genesis 24, we're going to be there in just a minute. We're going to read the scripture pretty quickly this morning, so you might as well just go there. Genesis chapter 24. For those of you that don't know, this is the first book in the Bible. It's actually one of my favorite books. There's so many amazing stories in Genesis chapter 24. We're going to be starting at verse 11. So if you open up your Bible, you'll want to open up to the beginning of that. When we come to a place in life when change needs to happen, come on. I'm going to speak to some changers here this morning. When you come to a place in life where change needs to happen, change means make or become different. So when you come to a place in your life where something needs to be different, something needs to change, something needs to come out of this different. I can't keep doing the day in and day out how I'm doing it. Come on, who's in a grind right now? Who's in a daily grind? Come on, come on. And you need a season of change. You need a directional change. It's the season. You feel it. You want it. You desire it. You pray about it. You lift your hands and say, oh God, where is the new season that you have for me? Because you can only do the same thing day in and day out for so long. Come on, it's truth. It's truth. You can only do the same thing day in and day out for so long. Change and seasons need to happen. Why do we know that? Because God did that when he formed this earth. If he knew the earth could just stay as it was, then we wouldn't have 4 seasons. He knew that new seasons were important. Ooh, I just got Holy Spirit goosebumps. We know that new seasons are part of God's plan for maturity and growth and substance. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Do your thing, God. Do your thing. You're at the crossroads. You need the change. You need something new to happen. How do you position yourself for a new place or season in your life? That's the million-dollar question. God, what are you asking me to do? Is there something I need to do? Do I wait on you? Come on. I'm going to let you in on one of my prayers. God, what do I need to do? Do I need to do anything? Do I wait on you? Because the Bible says, wait on the Lord. But then the Bible also says faith without action is dead. So do I need to do something in faith, knowing that maybe this is what you're asking for me? Or do you shut a door because you have a window open somewhere? Come on, go with me, ladies. Come on, I'm not the only one that prays this prayer. Do you have something over here or over there? Lead me to the place you're taking me. Guide me. Oh, God, just help me to be content. Lord, I need some contentment up in my house. Maybe there isn't no new place or new season. I just need some contentment. So, God, just give me your contentment. Does anyone else find themselves praying that way? But I know, according to his word and according to Psalms, that new seasons are part of his plan. How do I position myself for that new season? How do the trees and the shrubs get themselves ready for the next season they're about to encounter? How does the earth get itself ready and position itself for the weather change and for the circumstance changes so it can go into the next season ready and able to sustain itself or to bloom or to flower or to hold back or whatever God has for it? How do you do it? Where is it? We think it's some monumental thing that you have to do sometimes for change. But I'm going to tell you in on a secret, ladies. It's really very simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. Let's go to Genesis 24 and look at the verse this morning before I go on. Verse 11. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
So before I begin reading this, this is the story of Isaac and Rebekah. So Abraham sent a servant off to go find a wife for Isaac. And this servant is on a journey, and he stops at a well, and he is praying. He's there, and we'll get to this in just a minute. He's waiting for God to show him a wife for Isaac. So this is where we pick up in 11. It says, he had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Verse 14, may it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Verse 15, before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful. She was a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. I'm going to repeat that. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. Verse 17, the servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. Can you imagine? She gave a drink out of her hands. She lowered her hands and gave him a drink out of her hands. That is just, to me, that is like amazing. I just understood that right now. Okay, going on. 19. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Wow, there's a lot of really exciting information in here that I can't wait to get into the detail of it. But there are some amazing things that are going on in this scripture. The first thing I want to talk about is I heard someone say one time that you pray that you are the answer to someone's prayer, not praying all the time for your needs to get an answer. I'm going to repeat that. When you pray, God, make me the answer for somebody's prayer today. And not walking around constantly being like, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me this. I need this. I want this. Feel this. Feel this. Feel this. Sometimes we got to get out of ourselves and say, just make me the answer to somebody else's issue. A lot of the times your needs are met there. Make me the answer for someone else's prayer. Verse 12, he prayed. He prayed, and all of a sudden, Rebekah, doing the everyday thing, stepped into a new place in her life. Now, I want you to know that her everyday thing done caused a new season. Come on. Her everyday thing done of going down to the spring, to the well, caused a new season in her life. Beep, 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 beep. Did she hold a festival? Did she have a carnival? Did she light herself up on something to make known who she was? No. Her season changed with her simple task of daily living. But I want to talk about this new season that she entered, ladies, because God is not about new seasons that are blah. Her new season was absolutely physically and spiritual heritage attached to them. Why? Because she married Isaac. And she bore to him two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob became the father to the 12 tribes of Israel. Come on. Sometimes we don't know what our everyday occurrences lead us when we are positioned for change. Now, I'm going to go a little deeper with that because you're still asking, well, is positioning just doing everything I'm doing right now? Yes. Yes. But there are some things that you need to do in your everyday along with that. Let's go back. The key to her change was don't stop doing what you know is good. Continue to go to the spring to fill up. Now, we're going to take this a different route because I want to talk about going to the well, going to the spring every day. Rebecca went to the spring, to the well every day. Yes, it was a daily chore. Yes, it was a grind, but it was also the place where life was. Because she knew that if she didn't go to the well or to the spring to get water, that she could not live. Come on. Go with me on this. Her daily grind that she did daily that sometimes can be kind of, and I'm sure there are times when she got annoyed and got tired of that daily activity, but she did it because she knew the importance of life in the spring, in the well, and she knew she could not live without the stuff that was inside that well. So she made it part of her daily routine. Don't stop doing what you know is good. Continue to fill up. Fill up your jar. Don't disconnect with God while you are waiting for God to move you. The spring is where life is. Don't stop going. Come on, sometimes when we have seasons of change or desiring change, sometimes we get kind of blah. We just kind of blah, we just kind of want to veg out. But that's actually the time when we need to press in and press forward and continue to do what we know is good. Continue to do what you know is good. And then boom, a blink of an eye, the season changes in your life. One encounter, one face, one talk, one word. And your winter turns into a spring. I cannot emphasize, when God showed me this about the spring, I got so excited that all day I just kind of went like, oh, the importance of the spring. Oh, Lord, that is truth right there in the daily grind. The importance of the life in the well. That is so important. We got to drink up, ladies, so you know what life can do for someone else in need. Now we're getting good. Are you ready? If you don't have your life in your jar, how can you be life in a jar for someone else? Therefore, how did her season change? Because she had life to offer someone else who needed it, and now her life was changed because of it. Woo! Come on, we're going deep. Where's my shovel? We're going to dig down into the word. You know, she believed the answer because she understood the importance of the spring and how important the spring was to life. She knew it. She became the answer to the man's cry because she knew the importance of life in the spring. She understood it. That's why she went there and got it. And she knew how important life was for the animals as well. Going back and forth to feed the animals as well. She knew how important the spring was. How important that part of her day was. Look at verse 18. "Drink, my Lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. She served a stranger without hesitation. She said, "I will give you a drink." I'm going to tell you something about giving a drink, ladies. Sometimes it requires you to lower yourself. Sometimes change doesn't come with making yourself higher. That's what the world tells you. Oh, the more pedestals you get, the more steps in your life, the more change happens in your life. But sometimes change comes when you lower yourself and you humble yourself and you get into a position where you can help and serve someone else and then your life changes. Sometimes change in seasons come when we lower ourselves in humility and do something for someone else. And poof, we become that answer to that prayer. How easy is it to look upon someone out of your comfort zone? She didn't know this man from Mars. Here he is asking for water. I mean, how would you feel if you're, you know, doing your thing and all of a sudden a man came up to you and he had a bunch of camels? And he says, can you get me a drink? I mean, how, you know, uncomfortable is that kind of? How easy is it for us to disregard outside our comfort zone? Well, you know what? Someone else is better at that. Someone else is called to that. That's what we like to say. That's not my ministry. My ministry is not to love other people. It's just not my ministry. Someone else's ministry. It takes a lot of humility to serve out of our comfort zone. It takes a lot of humility to serve out of our comfort zone. Look around you in your everyday travel. Look around you and see, is there someone to serve here? Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, give me wisdom and intuition to know a safe place to serve. I know as females, we always have that in the back of our heads. I want a safe place. So just ask the Holy Spirit. He's not going to put you in danger, but say, Lord, help me, offer me a safe place to serve, Father. Offer me a safe place. She knew that this man was a safe place for her to serve. And then she, in a moment, became the answer to someone's prayer. And it changed her place and her life forever. She, in a moment, in her humility, in her importance of knowing the power of the life in the well and how to give it to other people, in a moment, her life changed forever. Her season changed. Wow. Oh, ladies, pray for life in your jar. Pray for life in your jar. So opportunity doesn't pass you by. So when you have an opportunity to serve someone, you have something to offer someone. Pray that your jar is full every day of living water. So when the need is presented, you have what is there to offer. She became the answer to his need, and her life changed. This is what I find very interesting. It is in the everyday tasks of life that character is shaped, is it not? And created. If she knew what he was and what he was doing, she would have acted accordingly, right? If you knew that that change was going to happen, come on. Let's say you knew that this so-and-so and this person and this situation or, you know, or this doctor or this whatever your change season needs to happen. You knew that it was coming and you knew who it was. Would you automatically kind of get into that position of serving you know how we do? Yes, she would have known, but she didn't. And she still acted accordingly. Why? Why? Because she knew the importance of the life in the spring. Why did she act the way she did? Because she knew that life in the well was what she needed to offer to this man and to his companions and to the camels that it came. She knew the importance of the life in the well. She knew she had to offer that. She knew what she had was real and whole and life-giving, and she knew that he needed it to live. That's how she acted the way she did. What if we did the same? What if we loved others and served others because we know how important the life is to us? Come on, I need an amen here this morning. What if we could love others out of the place of knowing how important the well and the spring are in our life? Therefore, we need to share it with somebody else because they're in need and they need life. Their journey has been far and they need a drink of life. What if this helped us in our marriages, in our relationships, with our children, with our community, with the baristas at Starbucks. Whoop. Or at the loft. Life. I could just come up here and just speak life. Life in the well. And then tell y'all to go home. Because the power is what's in the spring. It's life. And that's how you love and humble yourself for others, because you know the power of life firsthand, because you've been doing it day in and day out. You know it. I want to have the character in the everyday. I want to have the steadfastness. I want to have the character changing when I'm tired and when I want to give up and when I just want to say, forget about it. I want to have that character moment where I say no, because the life in the well is what I need. I can't forego the well today. I can't forego the water today, because the water is what brings me wholeness. The water is what brings me life, and I can't forego it today. That's when your character is shaped. That's when God molds you on his potter's wheel. The struggle. That's just him reshaping some bumps. I'm always like, can you work on my backside? Can you rub down a little bit on my thigh? I'm just kidding. God is good. I want to have the character so when positioning and promotion comes in my life, I'm ready to walk in it without fear, because I know it was nothing to do with what I was doing, but everything to do with what God was doing. And that's when you don't walk around saying, is it right? What do I do? What do I do? What's the season? What the da da da? You just walk in because you say, this is God, and only He can do this. Only He can. I want to have life in my jar. I want to have life in my jar because I went to the spring. I want to have life in my jar so I can love others and serve others from my hands. Wow. What a lesson for daily living, right? Does that change your perspective on change in your life? You came in here saying, girl, you know it. I need a way of escape. Come on. Now you're like, wait a minute. The importance of life in the jar. These Bible studies, they all came out of continuing to go to the well. I wish I had a video of showing y'all my journey over the last 8 years. These Bible studies came out of me continuing to go to the well despite how I felt or feel or saw or heard or received. I had made a decision that I was going to go to the well because I knew that's where I was receiving life. And these Bible studies all came out of that daily grind of going to the well, the living well. And all of a sudden, the Bible studies became words and became studies and became time with women on Wednesday mornings. And then from time with women on Wednesday mornings, went into the next place, which is podcasts and today's technology. And now it goes out everywhere to anyone who wants to receive. That's what happens when you grind with the Lord. And you know the importance of who He is. He does things little by little by little. And seasons, and He prepares you, and He prepares you, and He prepares you. Every time you go to that spring, He's preparing you for that next season. He's getting you ready. He's digging your roots down. He's bringing the right soil. He's watering you in that time. And yeah, that's not fun time. It's not the time that's fun. But then you turn around, you realize that you are able to stand sturdy in the next season and be that fruit that God has put in you to other people, because you have what? You have recognized the life in the well, and you have gone and you've prepared yourself for that change and that season in your life. What does going to the spring daily tell us about God's plan for your season of change? I want you to think about that for a minute. What does going to the spring daily tell us about God's plan for your seasons of change? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we have a well to go to. I thank you that you died on the cross so I could be here today and experience the fullness and the life of the well and the spring that runs that flows so beautifully through it. Father, I thank you, Lord, for showing us that this is such an important thing in our life, because we need it in order to be the hands and feet for others and love others and serve others and be the answer to somebody else's need. Therefore, change can happen because we know the importance of who you are and what you've done and what you sowed here, and we can take it and give it to others, Father. We thank you for the well. We thank you for life in the well. Thank you that we don't serve a God who gives us empty wells, empty vessels. Father, he freely flows. We just got to go down and grab it. We got to go down and get it, because you're such a sovereign God and you're so patient with us that you don't force us to the well, Lord. You ask for us to come and drink, because we know that other wells won't fulfill us. Other wells won't give us what we need. We know that the well, the only well of Jehovah, is the one we need to go to to receive that fulfillment in our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for such a simple message this morning, but can have so much dynamic impact if we take hold of it and run with it. This is yours, God, and I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.